Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. Michael, I understand we're having a technical difficulty with our guest. Is that right?
Yes, I do not see the guest here in the queue.
Okay, so I think she may be having trouble getting on. But I didn't want to miss our chance. So if you'll do me a favor, Michael, and watch for her joining us as
yes.
talking, I have a feeling that you and I might be able to do our topic justice in the meantime.
Okay, great.
So last week we had Isabel on talking about coming to the monastery on retreat as a way of supporting the DPAP process that we're doing, the Deepening Practice Action Plan email class that we're in the middle of with Sherry, which I'm finding to be an incredibly powerful class. And this week we asked a guest to be with us to talk about practicing far-flung, so all the opportunities that are available practicing at home. So, Michael, I have a feeling you know about some of those.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I have to tell you, I just love being thrust into the moment. It's great.
Me too. Isn't it great? Yeah.
It is great.
So we could start with the radio show, which, you know, anyone who's listening obviously already knows about it. But if you're brand new to it, certainly don't miss that there are literally, at this point, hundreds and hundreds of archives dating actually all the way back to 10 years ago, we just discovered recently. That's a really wonderful way. I think there's even an app for it on the iPhone, so you can listen to it on your iPhone, and you can download the iPod, MP.
App.
I can't think of all the terminology right now.
The iPhone app?
I was thinking about how you can download the
podcast.
And put them on your iPod and listen to them that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what else, Michael? What are some of your favorite at-home practice opportunities?
Well, I love the at-home meditation retreats, the day-long ones,
mm-hmm.
which are great.
And if I
go
may
ahead.
Pause on that one, because that's much like actually a bunch of different practice opportunities this year.
Yes.
That's being relaunched. And I think the first one is March 10th, I want to say.
That's correct.
March 10th.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And what's fun about it is that there, each one is going to be different. And so it might have working meditation involved in it. It might not. It's basically a day-long workshop, but just far-flung. Instead of usually for day-long workshops, we all come together in one location. But because the Sangha is spread out all over the world, this is a way for us to have a day-long workshop anywhere, wherever you are at your house.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's great.
And you were going to say another one. I interrupted you.
Yes, the guidance days, which conditioning is terrified of. and you know what? Yeah, I can say more about that. And I think I was talking about this at the webcast, too. And that is that when I look to my experience, my guidance experiences have been some of the most freeing experiences of my life. And that's another belief that needs to be tossed out the window. And just remembering to turn to my experience and say, okay, you know, what has been really helpful? What has been really freeing? And let's go toward that.
So are you saying that, like, conditioning would talk you out of it? Like, it's scary to have guidance with a monk one-on-one or that sort of thing?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But that it's been really, really powerful for you?
Yes, it has been really powerful for me. And also what I've noticed in the email class related to that is that I'm a 6 on the Enneagram. So, of course,
yeah.
Everything, anything
yeah.
new, different, the same, always brings up fear. So
yeah.
why should I expect anything different?
Well, you know, and that's a good reminder, Michael, that I definitely wouldn't have thought to say, because I think I can speak for all the monks, it's just a pleasure to offer that service. And such a boost to our practice to have a day of being able to interact with people one-on-one and just look at the variety of things that people are bringing into practice and the courage and willingness that they bring to that. And I wouldn't have thought of that, of course, for many people, it probably does bring up fear of doing something new and having that one-on-one conversation. And so I'm really glad you threw that in, that, but, you know, even if there is that coming up, go ahead and sign up anyway and even talk about that. I mean, that could be the topic of the guidance appointment. Really, anything goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So One of the things that I love about practice these days is the daily, just all the many, many daily things that are available. We had a really fun group recently at the monastery where everyone shared about what their sort of morning practice routine is. You know, we sit together first thing in the morning at the monastery, but even before that, you know, everyone has whatever routines they have in terms of waking up into practice. And there's so many tools for that. Transform Your Life is usually one of the first ones on my list in the morning. Either, you know, there's an iPhone app for that too, so you can look it up on your iPhone, or just the old-fashioned paper book. Open it up to the page, read the quote that Sherry chose for the day, what's the exercise. And I think on the app there's even a way to set a timer, a reminder. So, you know, later in the day when you've long forgotten and conditioning wants to cover it over, iPhone will remind you, don't forget, you had that Transform Your Life assignment today. Support your heart.
Yes.
Do you have any favorite daily practices?
Yeah, I love Transform Your Life. And what I love about that one is that I type it into my daily plan. And so for me, when I have to retype it or write something down again, it comes in more deeply because I have to look at every word and see how it's written. And so I find that really valuable.
Oh, that's really fun. So in other words, whatever your to-do list and that sort of thing for the whole day, it goes in there?
Yes, it does. Uh-huh. And as someone on Open Air mentioned, they transformed their, quote, to-do, unquote, list into ways to serve and celebrate life.
Oh, thank you for that.
You're welcome. And I just love that. And that's how my page is titled. And it just puts a really lovely spin on the whole thing.
Oh, you just transformed my life.
Okay, good. We just passed along that transformation. So
we do. It's a good image for Sangha, isn't it? Just keep passing it back and forth. It grows and grows.
Yes.
And then, of course, the daily peace quotes.
Yes, those are great.
Yeah, so that comes in via email. And again, I suppose one could type that right up into the plan as well for the day.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
Yep.
And another thing I do almost every day, first thing, is just record, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
And the practice I've done with that is that I do it for a minimum of 2.5 minutes.
Oh, that's fun, too.
So conditioning can easily go with, okay, you said it, that's good. Focus on peace and joy, that's good, we're done. Which is true, and I am done, and I want to allow a minute or two for anything that's in the background there to surface and what's important to me and all that.
Yeah, you know what's fun about it has the other side effect too, which is that conditioning could say, well, it didn't count. You'd only recorded for 30 seconds. But if you have that 2.5 minute commitment, as long as you do it for 2.5 minutes, there, you've done it. It can't say you didn't do it.
Yes.
Oh, that's really fun.
Exactly.
One of the other ones that to me, is just sort of a bedrock of at-home practice is the email classes. It's extraordinary, the effort and work that goes into those email classes, especially by Sherry, but not just by Sherry. There's other folks who are involved in it, too. And it's just, I mean, I'm astounded. I think there's over, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of people. I can't remember the exact figure in this particular class. And apparently, I mean, looking at the responses, it seems like every single one of us is responding. It's just pages and pages and pages. I cut and paste some of the recent batch into a Word doc, and it was 60 pages long. And that was just one section of one little response.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's an incredible wealth of practice because it comes from everyone. And so between all of us, we bring every aspect of life to the guide for direct guidance, and she speaks right to it. So it's like a whole, you know, the whole deal right there in one email class.
Yeah. It's a privilege.
It really is. It's an enormous privilege. Any others that we're forgetting? Because I know we got to turn the show over to you guys, but I don't leave any of the important ones out. Let's see. We did
nothing occurs to me in this moment.
I think we covered it. Sherry might throw some in when you bring her on. Well, that was very fun, Michael.
That was very fun. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. Thanks for your willingness. So have a great show.
Okay, we will.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you? I'm great. Nothing like being tossed into the moment.
Yeah. Oh, and life is there with that safety net every time, isn't it?
That's great.
Yeah. Well, I'm good too. I love hearing people talk about practice, and I gotta confess, I'm grateful to take my fingers off of those keys and put my feet upon my desk for an hour and talk about practice instead of typing about practice.
Yes.
It is fun, and I had no idea when Jen said that one section of 60 pages. It's just like, well. Huh, I bet people do have a little problem keeping up with the reading. but she's right. Just having that sense of so many people out there practicing and just the different things people say, you know, what they're looking at and what's important to them and the insights and the way people put things together. It's great. It's like having a giant group, you know, as if we were all at this monastery or on retreat in the evening, we'd get together and we'd have a group where people would talk about their practice and what's going on with them. And that's what it's like with about 635 people. So with that many people, and she's right, I think everybody's participating fabulously. So, we have to do it this way, because if we were doing it verbally, we would just be around the clock.
Yes. Wonderful.
Yeah, and speaking of which, a number of people in the class are saying how much they enjoy the email classes, and I enjoy them as well. As I hope that comes through, how much I enjoy being able to work with people in this way. And we have another one. We just, I think it's going to, the registration is going to open up pretty darn soon, because people were just asking me about it today. It's going to start on the, I think, 16th of March is a Friday. So people will have until the 14th of March to sign up for it. And it's going to be on resistance. So people who are, really dialed into, this is where I'm going, and this is what I want, and this is what my heart says, and this is what lights me up. And then over here is, you can't, you better not, oh God, the sky is falling. And it's difficult sometimes for people to realize what exactly is the resistance that's stopping them from having the life they want. So that's what that class is going to be focused on. We're going to dissect resistance until, everybody hears a voice and or feels a feeling and gets a sensation. They know, that's egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. That's resistance. That's not the direction that I want to be going in. So I'm excited about that one.
Great. Hmm? Great. And I have two announcements here.
Hmm.
Registration is now open for two of the upcoming at-home practice opportunities. And the first one is Guidance Day for Monthly Donors, which we were just talking about, and that's Saturday, February 25th. And you can have a guidance appointment by phone with an experienced practitioner.
Yes, indeed.
And then the at-home retreat is Saturday, March 10th. You can join the monks and Sangha for a day of guided practice in your own home.
Yeah, that's a really good one, isn't it? I mean, you're on retreat in your own house with Sangha, and you don't even have to, like get the house company ready, because they're virtually there.
Yes. And this day will include guided meditation, facilitated groups, and exercises.
Good deal.
And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Okay, let's get started. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Jodine from San Francisco.
Hey, Jodine.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Well, I wanted to call and check in because I've been in some rugged places.
Yep.
Lately.
Yep.
So I had kind of an interesting, there's like two things kind of vying for what to talk about. They're a little related. Maybe I can kind of get them both in. So I've been dealing with like a physical, mental, spiritual crisis or something that like manifested as a pretty serious illness. And I was
I had a little trouble hearing the end of that sentence. Pretty serious illness.
I was not able to work for 5 weeks. Am I coming through okay?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay. There was like a medical side of it, and I was dealing with all these kind of doctors that I don't agree with, how they wanted to treat me and how they wanted to see, you know, what was going on for me. I've stuck with my practice as much as I could, got back kind of on my feet. I've been back at work. I'm working reduced hours right now, and feeling better in a way, but also really having other things come up. I've had a long term problem with my back going out sometimes. And so here I am in the midst of all these difficulties, and I'm having a relapse of that.
You know that expression? You know that expression? It never rains but what it pours.
Oh boy!
I think when people come up with those kinds of expressions, they're having the sort of life period of life that you've been going through, right?
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
If it can be compounded, it will be compounded.
Yep.
Yeah.
So how I'm kind of practicing with this is I started getting into times when I was just taken over by someone experiencing grief. About all of this.
Yeah.
And it would be, you know, it would be, it just seemed like that whole thing, like the grief would come on and I'd kind of try to ride this wave and I would just be left exhausted. Like I would cry for a really long time, and it didn't seem to be going anywhere. Like it didn't seem to be productive. And so, I finally, you know, I sat down and I said, if you want to talk, like, let's. I did a two chairs, talk to the mentor because, you know, I see that you're grieving, but let's get into this. Like, tell me, like, talk. Let's talk. And what ended up coming out of that was one thing I did, which that part of me really appreciated, was I got out Marshall Rosenberg's Nonviolent Communication. And there is this wonderful list in there of emotions, and because some emotions or emotion words that people use are not really emotions, like depressed.
Yeah.
Right? It's like not really an emotion.
No, it's a thought. It's a label.
And so we went through this list of emotions and she picked out, you know, how she was feeling. Um, feel like I'm, you know, getting identified again with her now. There's despair, there's anger, there's disappointment, and you know, and a lot of other words that she picked out. And one of the things that came up around all of that in terms of like how I want to mentor this person is that it's all okay. Like anybody would feel that way after
yes.
the things that you've been through.
Yes. Yes. And I want to tell you a little story, okay, that goes with this. So, and I know you've heard this little story because you've been around for a long time. But it's a good little story, okay, and it applies. So Ram Dass, when he was doing hospice work, was working with a woman who was terminally ill. And she was profoundly depressed because she was terminally ill. And he said, you know, the difficulty here is that you're spending all of your time dying. So how about if you spend 10 minutes out of every hour dying and 50 minutes out of every hour living?
Mm.
So the application for this is, okay, there's someone who has all of those feelings. She doesn't speak for everyone, and she's not helpful to everyone.
Right, that's what was happening. I experienced that.
Yes. So she gets to express her feelings when you decide it's an okay time for her to express her feelings. So you can make a date with her, you know, for 15 minutes every day or for an hour once a week or whatever it is. And she can feel how she feels and express that fully. And the rest of the time, you're going to take care of everybody else who has a whole different, all of the folks with a different orientation to life, with different needs, different wants, different experiences. Yeah?
I see it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because someone like that, yes, I mean, it's true. It's true that all of these things have happened. You know, we don't like the hard places in life. We don't. We're heavily conditioned not to, and very often what we will do is turn life over to these folks you know, had a good long run at believing that all of the things in life that are possible for a human being aren't going to happen to me. But, you know, that's kind of there's an expression for that, but I don't know what it is. But it's a...
denial?
Yeah, well, it's kind of delusional. So, you know, it's, I mean, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody in this, but I talk to people who are 60 years old who are just devastated that their parents are dying. And it's like, what did you think was going to happen? You know, I mean, it's really important that we use all of the faculties that we've been given to face life realistically in a way that helps us to be prepared for what we could say is the inevitable. Because as I'm fond of pointing out, you know, I'll just talk about me. I have one way to go in this life. Okay, I'm either going to bury those I love or they're going to bury me. But it's going in that direction. And to live life as if that's never going to happen, and then when we come to that juncture that there's something wrong with it, is just what would we say about that? It's just it's not responsible. You know, it's like convincing children that for whatever reason that they all of life should revolve around them. It's unfair and it's irresponsible because it's not true. It doesn't. And at some point they're going to have to wake up to that fact. It does not serve them. And it does not serve any of us to go on with an attitude that life should always be easy for us. It should always go our way. Things should always work out for us. And if it doesn't, then it's wrong and it's because God is mad at us or doesn't like us or there's something wrong with us. Good grief, if we look around,
right. Yeah,
we get it, that everything happens to everybody all the time, and by God, it's going to happen to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's actually came up in that session, was like, obviously, this is my life as it is now.
Yeah.
Like, this is the reality of my life, and how do I work with it?
Yes. Yes.
There's somebody who, you know, one of the things that I wrote in, or that she picked from the list, or actually that's not in his list, but that she said is just resisting, like resisting what is, instead of somehow trying to work with it.
Yes. And, you know, Joni, that's the key right there. Because if we are identified either with egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, or with an aspect of the personality who is living in some delusional relationship with life, then everybody's going to suffer. But to me, it's our best opportunity to disidentify from either of those places and move into that conscious, compassionate awareness that can be kind as well as realistic.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry you're upset. Yes, I know it's really, you really don't want to be having this experience. But that, from that compassionate place, there's an awareness that, but that's how life is. And it's our best opportunity to choose compassion rather than sliding into that suffering place with karmic conditioning that says, okay, it's life for everybody else, but it shouldn't be happening to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. And yes, it's hard. And yes, you know, we're always glad when we get to the other side of it. Let's be honest. So it's finding that balance of, yes, it's perfectly fine. I'm absolutely willing to be here. And I won't be sorry when I'm not having this experience any longer.
Right.
You know, all of that is so.
Yeah, but it's so much, yeah, I mean, it's so much better to have a mentoring presence
mm-hmm.
there with you instead of
yes.
self-hate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why we practice, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Take good care, huh?
Okay. Okay, thank you. I will.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Patty from Los Angeles.
Hey, Patty.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. I'm good. I was supposed to be the guest on Good News Update, and for some reason I couldn't get through.
Oh. Bummer.
Yeah. So that was a workshop.
Talk about some letting go, huh?
Yes. I was so excited about doing it, and it was just really interesting to watch the disappointment come up, you know, when I realized that I wasn't going to get through, and then that moved into, okay, this is what's happening, and I'm just going to accept that this is what's happening, and I'm going to listen to the show and enjoy it. And but yeah, so I just I figured I'd just stay on the line and hopefully get to talk to you.
So here's the deal. You thought you would just go right on ahead and do the practice that you were going to talk about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's a very good deal, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, Jen and Michael seem to cover, like, all the bases there.
Anything they forgot that you can bring up right now?
Well, I actually didn't catch all of it because I was trying to, hung up and I called back because I was trying to get on. And so I missed a little bit of it, but it seemed like they covered everything that I had wanted to mention.
Uh-huh.
And I guess just the one thing I wanted to add was that, you know, when I first started practicing, I had this belief that in order to truly practice, that I would have to move to the monastery and become a monk.
Yes. Everybody has that horror come up early on in practice.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't so much a horror, but just sort of this thing that conditioning was using to always make me feel like I wasn't practicing.
Yeah.
Or practicing fully.
Because with that, you know, if you're going to really practice, you have to move to the monastery and become a monk. And by the way, you're never going to do that. Therefore, you're never really going to be practicing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I've, you know, come to see that that is so not true. And that, you know, I love my life out here in the world, and I love practicing out in the world. And it can be really challenging because, you know, as you often say, that the world out here is very supportive of conditioning.
Yes.
And so it takes a lot of reminders and just constant reminders, basically, of, like, what I want to focus on and what is important to me and what's really true.
Yeah, because really what people are up against is a brainwashing system, right? So, I mean, everything out there in the world is saying, choose egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every billboard, every advertisement for anything, just the whole way it's set up is to speak to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, right? So no matter what you do, it's not going to be good enough. There's always somebody to compare yourself to who is the right good person to be, the way you should be, and that you're, you know, that sort of thing. No matter how many products you buy, you're still not as young, thin, cute, and successful, rich as you should be, right? So to go up against that, to keep your center in the face of all of that is what we would call a practice opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's really challenging. And, you know, I mean, it does feel sometimes like an extreme sport.
Yes.
Because it's
yes.
so challenging.
Yes. Yes. That's a perfect image for what I was attempting to depict. Yeah. It's not, you're not
yeah.
on a bike ride. Right? That's not what it's like. It's one of those. Yeah. Where you need a helmet and lots of padding and people are trying to get you. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing you just mentioned about the ads and the billboards, one of my practices is that I practice not looking at them.
Yes, too. That's a good one.
It's really hard to do because I live in a city where it's just all over the place.
Yes.
But it's fun. It's fun to make a game out of it. And I definitely noticed that my quality of life has improved since I, you know, have practiced that.
That is such a great tool because you're really focused on directing your attention, right? You have to
mm-hmm.
be with your attention all the time because it's trained to stray to the bright colors and the big print and the provocative images.
Shiny things. That's what I like to call them.
Right. Yeah. So you're practicing keeping your attention where you want it to be and avoiding getting distracted. So that's so good because often people don't know quite how to practice directing your attention in daily life. I mean, what does that consist of? But picking something that you're not going to attend to that is pretty ubiquitous is a great tool.
Yeah, and so, you know, when I was thinking about the Good News Update today and, you know, like all of the practices, the at-home practice opportunities, you know, just what came to me was just that how they all assist me in doing that. Like, in they all assist me in keeping my attention where I want it to be and directing my attention.
Yes, yes.
You know, because it's like it's easy to get kind of like conditioning likes to co-opt my practice and try to get me to focus on the content of it. So like, you know, you got to read all these email responses, you know, you got get on top of this, you know, and turns like these opportunities into shoulds and things that I should be stressed out about.
Yes. To get you to the place of saying, no, I can't do this. It's too much. You know, and of course in the class, I run into a fair number of those where conditioning has made practice appear so miserable for people that people are eager to quit it.
Yeah. Yes, I know that. I know that experience.
Yes, I know that one well.
But it just to remember that it's not about that. You know, that these are truly opportunities and they're truly there for me. They're there for me. You know, and to take full advantage of them, and to not let conditioning turn it into just a list of shoulds.
Yes, 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 yeah. That's the key, isn't it? To make that list and to remind myself, no, these are the things I want to do. There's no I'm not going to fall for having voices turn what I want to do into a list of shoulds that I then eventually will choose not to do. No, I want to do these things. Practice is for me. Very good. Very helpful.
So, yeah, thank you for all of the opportunities. You know, I mean, I really appreciate that. And, you know, if I were a shut-in and never left the house, I would still be in constant contact with Sangha and still have constant support through all of these different things that are offered.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It's just we're so, so, so fortunate to have all of this available for us. Well, thank you. I'm glad you got through in this form, if not in the previous form.
Me too. And I had been trying to call you for weeks, actually, and didn't get through. So this is a nice surprise.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you, Patty.
All right. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think open-air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about open-air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. We have another caller.
Hey.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
Well, how are you?
Hello. I'm really good, thank you.
Good.
I thought just before I ask you my question, so I'll just say that I'm really enjoying the email class.
Good.
It's a really good one. Giving
good.
Me lots of chances to look at egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed the webcast, the live webcast as well. That was really, really fantastic for me. I was so excited.
There we were, right in your living room.
I know, because of course I still haven't managed to get over or anything, so that was really, really lovely. On last week's show, you were talking about the tweets, and you said, I hope people are reading these tweets, and I just wanted to say I read every single tweet.
Good.
And I think I might be able to say I've read every tweet. I think
what?
I can say that. I think I have read every tweet.
Oh, my goodness.
I got them from the very, very beginning. They're really easy to read because they're quite short, you know. So,
huh.
Yeah.
But just enough to kind of bring us back to, all right, yes, okay.
That's right.
Let's get on
yeah.
that conversation and get here.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoy getting them, actually. It is really good,
good.
Especially
well,
when I'm at work or something like that.
Well, you know, one of the things that you could do, should you choose
mm-hmm.
to, is when they occur to you,
mm.
you could jot them down and send them in.
Yes.
And wouldn't that be fun
yeah.
to see
yes.
your own tweet appear on your,
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because I haven't done that yet. So, yeah, that would be a good idea. Well, I thought I'd ask you about yesterday's Transform Your Life. And it's in a similar vein with Jodine, the first caller. So yesterday's Transform Your Life was Jean-Paul Sartre, and it's freedom is what you do with what's been done to you.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a little bit of writing. I'll just read it quickly. So it says, in the present, we can undo the past and release the future. Horrible things may have happened in the past, but we don't owe those horrible things our present or our future. If the voices retelling the story could change it, that might be worthwhile, but they can't. Only we can reclaim our precious now by letting go the old stories. And then the last bit is you can use your past as strength for your present. And I really like that last sentence there. It sounds like a really good idea. And I wondered if you could just talk about that a little bit more. So you can use your past as strength for your present.
Yes. I can. Do you want to tell me what you're looking
yeah,
for?
Yeah, I'm sort of understanding that. I think I've only got a vague sort of grasp on it, but I'm understanding it as looking back on things that have happened and seeing what I can learn from that. that I can use in my life now. And in the way that if certain things hadn't happened, I might not know those things that are really useful to know now.
Yes. Oh. That is it for me.
Right.
When I reach a place in my life now where I'm completely grateful for my life, I get it, not as an intellectual understanding, but viscerally, that it took every single experience in my life to get me here.
Right, yeah.
And that gratitude for, you know, it's in a way, even though we wouldn't really say it this way, or I guess we would because we're looking back on it. It's difficult for people when they're going through something, and of course, karmic conditioning has people in such a state of dread about things that could happen that entire lives are lived trying to avoid imaginary horrors that people are trying to avoid. But when I look back and realize that every experience has changed me, has transformed me in ways that it was necessary for me to be transformed. And I can only have that experience when I am living in gratitude for the life that I have now. Obviously, if I look back from a place of bitterness or anger or regret, then that's not going to undo anything. In fact, what it's going to do is make sure that today is lived in bitterness and regret. Tomorrow will be lived in bitterness and regret, and conceivably the rest of my life will be that way. But when I see the transformation that has been brought about by those very difficult life situations, and I'm grateful for the transformation, I appreciate the life I have now, then today is lived in gratitude. Tomorrow will be lived in gratitude. You know? So I don't carry anything from the content of what happened back then, because it has just become a lesson, an experience for which I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it releases the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's fantastic. So that is sort of what I was thinking, but it was really great the way that you've just explained all of that. That's super.
Yeah, and it's so counter to our conditioning, isn't it? The whole eye for an eye and revenge, and if you don't hold on to those things, somehow you're going to be disempowered, and it's the rage against that that gives me the strength. You know, all those nonsense notions that just feed suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, and that would be so exhausting. Just thinking of behaving in that way would be so tiring and so exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can just feel the life force coming out and feeding that anger and hatred and regret. You know,
yeah.
The bitterness.
Yeah.
No good.
So what's good about this this quote and what you just said is that I can just carry on as I am doing because I'm going in the right direction.
Yes.
I can feel confident about that now, so I'm going to carry on.
Yes. And that attitude of mind is what brings us faith, trust, empowerment, however we want to think about it, because it's a knowledge that nothing is a mistake. That awareness that can sound so Pollyanna until we have the experience that every moment of life is a gift from life directly to me. And that doesn't take away from the gift that life is giving you, because each moment for each one of us is that particular gift. Once we see that, then even the things that we desperately wish weren't happening, we can get it, that right now it's very difficult, it's painful, it's whatever it is, but that's what's bringing the transformation.
That's what sorry, just that last bit?
That's the there are all kinds of images for it in forged
yeah.
steel and that sort of thing, but
yeah.
it's going through. It's, you know, those experiences
yeah. Yeah.
can either reinforce karma. I'm a
yeah.
victim. This shouldn't be happening to me. It's unfair. I hate all of them, and most of all, I hate God. Or
yeah.
it is burning away the karma and taking
yeah.
me to a place of, I may not understand this. I don't know what's going on, but I trust that this is for me. This is teaching me something that I need to learn. And so
yeah.
I say yes, and I'm willing, and I show up as best I can, trusting that out the other side of this, and there will be another side of this,
yeah.
I'll see what that was all about.
Right. That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing, and that's what I'm going to carry on doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly so.
Oh. Yeah, that's lovely. That's brilliant. So what I will probably do now is when I listen to this, you know, when it comes through as an archive, I'll write all of that down,
oh.
everything that you've just said. And I do this every week anyway. There's a little bit, well, there's just loads, but I only do it sort of for a little bit, I sort of rewrite it. And then I'll use that in my recording and listening. And then I've, you know, just got it quickly at the press of a button. So.
Oh,
that's
so good. You know, I
yeah.
in this class, as you know, however much you can keep up with, you know,
yes.
I'm just constantly encouraging people to spend all of your time in conscious compassion awareness. You know, the work will get done. You know, the house will get
yeah.
paid. The bills will get paid. It'll all happen. And it'll happen so much happier when
yeah.
all of our attention is going to the things that reinforce loving kindness in our hearts.
Yeah.
So that's very, very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've had all sorts of things happen sort of in the last 2 years, or really, really big things, but I've been doing as much practice as I can, and I'm okay, and everything's okay, and I'm seeing lots of things every day, really fast, actually. So it is good.
Yeah, it is good.
Definitely
because
work.
Because the thing about it is, Our lives are what they are, and
yeah.
if we're practicing, then
yeah.
they're going toward ending suffering. If we're not
right.
practicing, they're going toward suffering, and
right.
they'll still be what they are. You know, I'm still going to have the life experiences I have. The only
yeah.
choice I have is how I go through them.
Yeah, yeah. Got to make the most of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
well, thank
fantastic.
You so much. Get
some okay.
sleep, huh?
And thank you. And thank you for everything. And thank everybody for everything that they're all doing.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Let's just do a blanket thank you to us
thank
all
you.
For everything we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. All right. And a special
all
thank
right.
you to you. Good night.
Okay. Thank you. Good night, Sherry. Good night, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night, Anna. Thank you for joining us. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Hey.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea calling.
Hello, Andrea.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, well, I'm grateful for everything, for the practice. And
you know, may I just stop you right there?
Sure.
I love sentences that start that way.
I'm
grateful. that's a great way to start a sentence. Okay, go ahead. You're grateful for.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I it just seems in the past few weeks, especially with I watched the the practice
mm-hmm. the
thing.
Webcast.
The webcast
mm-hmm.
and. I guess I just feel like I've really been able to feel like I'm coming home when I'm listening to all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. That's a great description of the way we're meant to feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we are home. We are home. And karmic conditioning, the voices work so hard to convince us that we're not. And so when we have that feeling of that, that experience of coming home, of being home, it's really powerful.
Yeah, and it's you know, because often what will happen is when I'll be listening to something, conditioning will come in and try to prevent me from experiencing the practice by comparing me to other people in the practice and saying I don't measure up to them and stuff like that. And instead of allowing me to just really be there and experiencing it and enjoying it.
Yes, and of course, there's a good reason for that, right? Because when you're there and being there and enjoying it, it's obvious that you are doing the practice and that those comparisons are just completely invalid. So, got to try to interrupt that flow.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because I've been identified with some content about my son having issues, behavior issues at school, and I've run the gamut of all being identified in terms of being angry at him. And this morning, it was more like this sadness. It kind of felt like despair or sadness. And, you know, it's probably being identified, but I felt like it was more true to the way I was feeling than when I'm stuck in the anger. And I feel like all this conditioning, you know, just comes in and it's just so hard to even know what I'm feeling, you know?
Yes. And what occurs to me is that it could be fun, might be a strong word, interesting anyway, to do some things like get out some, you know, some of the old subpersonality work, and get a piece of paper and let everybody have their say about the situation and see if you can get a sense of where karmic conditioning self-hate is in that.
Oh, gosh. You know what? I already have such a big sense because basically it's kind of funny, you know, like in you were talking earlier in the hour about all these things happening in life that some people seem to just kind of not be prepared for, like 60-year-olds not being prepared for their parents dying. And it seems like my conditioning's on the other side of the duality, and it's like it's holding this rock over my head, and that's where the self-hate's coming in. The self-hate is there holding a rock over my head saying, you know, he's not normal. He has all these problems and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what the self-hate's saying. And the thing is he hits at school when he gets angry. But otherwise, when he's not angry, he's incredibly sweet. So I'm not sure what to make of the situation, but conditioning's coming in with all this self-hate and this big rock to drop on my head.
How old is he?
6.
Well, he should definitely be over having any feelings by 6.
I know. And it's just, and part of me feels like, you know, it's the school that makes a big deal out of it.
Well, it's society that makes a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
So, but the important, interesting thing, and of course, is his mother, because that's the thing that you can really influence, right? So, sorting out what is authentic emotion about it or concern about whatever, and what is simply conditioning using every aspect of everything against you. And, of course, your bottom line job is moving back into the conscious, compassionate awareness place in order to take care of everybody in the situation, believing nothing, paying attention to everything, you know that one, being there to do whatever it is that can be done and not buying into the story, and you know the place coming from center. Because of course that's the very best we can do for our children is to model that approach to life. Because you know he's six. There are going to be a lot of attitudes that he's going to run into. A lot of people with a whole bunch of different kinds of conditioning, and he's going to have to make his way through that just exactly the way you have and I have and everybody else has to do. And so what is that centered, grounded, disidentified, wise, compassionate place that we can get to that can see life as it is and respond accordingly, appropriately, the way we would choose to respond.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I also can see that what ego does is use resistance, because
yes.
It's basically not accepting how he acts and not accepting who he is.
Yes, or assuming that that's who he is.
Could you say more about that?
Well, let's see. For instance, I was an angry child, according to everybody. I'm not sure that was my life experience. I wasn't good at buying what I've come to call horse pucky when I saw it around me, and I wasn't good at not letting people know that. Who was I? You know, was I my life experience, whatever that was? Was I what people labeled that? So when we look at him, to even think that we can accept him as he is implies that we know how he is or who he is. So from that stepped back, disidentified, centered place, we can be more available for ourselves, first of all, and then for little people, not to need to make meaning out of everything, but to be present to what is arising in the moment and assisting to bring conscious, compassionate awareness to that, which is not the same as indulgence. So, you know, he is going to learn that it is not okay to hit people. And he'll probably learn that in a kind of a rugged fashion. But he will learn it. And hopefully he will outgrow the tendency, or he'll learn how to direct that desire in ways that don't produce a lot of karma for him or anybody else. But not to take one piece of content that has a lot of baggage attached to it and make that the meaning of his life, not to make this situation the meaning of your life.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I can see conditioning really trying to do that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So in the email class, this class four, I think it is, that we're on right now, the encouragement is to look at all of life's gifts, which is something, of course, that we all know we're supposed to do, but almost nobody does, right? Because karmic conditioning and self-hate wants us constantly to be focused on what's wrong, not enough. And that's where the attention is trained to go constantly, because that's what feeds ego, right? So if we were to look at his life or your life or anybody else's life, what are all of the gifts that exist in that life? What are all of the wonderful aspects, the moments that are beyond okay, bordering on just fantastically great, that we don't see? Because karmic conditioning says, that's wrong, there's something missing there, that's what you need to attend to. That's what you need to make meaning out of. I sometimes wonder how many problems would simply disappear. I mean, problems like that, you know, like a child who hits, how much of that would just simply go away if it didn't get all of the attention that it gets?
Yeah, and it's so funny you mentioned that because I was reading him the class when he was having his bath.
Does he roll his eyes and go, what?
No, he actually, he asked questions about it, and then I kind of said, well, I said, you know, it's kind of like your toys, you know, being grateful for all the toys you have and not wanting more.
Wow.
So that's how I put it.
Yeah,
I kind of translated it to him.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of got it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got whatever was made real for us. He'll get whatever is made real for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know if you think about this, but I think about this kind of thing all the time. You know, there are people around the world who would do anything to get a big old plate of something that I would rather starve to death than eat. You know what I mean? Only because they were conditioned to like that, and I was conditioned to like this. You know, people live in climates that, you know, I couldn't imagine spending 5 minutes in. And if they're out of that climate, they miss it. So it's all up for grabs. Once we realize that it's just that we were conditioned in this way. There's no magic to it. There's no, you know, it's not real. It's not actually important. It's not meaningful. It's not anything. It's just, that's how we were conditioned. Good to think about, I think.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, as you said, just realizing the things that I do have in life. And I think really what it comes down to for me is just remembering, you know, to be aware, remembering to be conscious, remembering to look
for
the
mental. Yes, remembering to let that conscious awareness expand, to take in more and more and more of what is actually going on.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think for me, like in your next email class with resistance, I think there's, you know, that's a great class. I can just see it because I can see the resistance. And I think for me, it's just coming up with tricks to remember.
Yes, yeah, and that's, you know, that's a huge part of what practice is, of course, is it's what Patty was talking about too. It's those, how do you get enough reminders in the day to counteract all of those reminders to be unconscious?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
It is fun. You can see that.
Oh, I definitely see it. I mean, I'm so grateful for the show. I just, you know, I listen to the show every day when I'm walking home, and just really being able to appreciate it, and you know, just envisioning the monastery and being on retreat there, and I want to go to the June retreat. Yeah, so that's my plan.
Excellent. Well, it's great to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah, and it's great to connect with you, Sherry, and everybody else.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I want to toss in a reminder that next week's show will be a special support for the DPAP process.
Aha! Uh-huh. Does it have a subject, or is it just a dedication?
Dedication is all I know of right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Threw you a trick question there. Right.
Well, maybe you know the answer to, maybe
no,
you know the answer to that question.
No, I don't. But we'll find out. They'll tell us, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
They always do.
Yes, they always do. All right.
Thank you
so much. All right. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.